So I want, what I want to share with you, I got so much I'd love to share with you. But what I'm going to share with you this afternoon is some practical things. Most people who are here definitely believe in God. You definitely believe that God is almighty and that He can do anything. You believe in the healing power of God, in the prosperity. You believe that God can use you. You believe all of those things exist, but between where you are and seeing that operate in your life is a big gap. And most people think, how do you do it? How do you do this? I believe that God could heal me, but how do I do this? I believe that God could prosper me, but how do I do it? And really, Charis Bible College is a pretty practical how-to type of things. And I promise you, if you feel called and if you come, we will teach you really practical steps about how to get all of this done. So let me turn over to this scripture in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. Just for time's sake, I'm going to just use this verse and not put it into its context, but I'm not changing any of the meaning. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. This is a Bible college. And you would think that at a Bible college, you would use the Bible. But we've actually had people come to our school that have been through seminary for 4 years and never opened the Bible. They would take books that were written about the Bible. They would take theological things. I once had a pastor of a very large church, 10,000 member church. And he was debating me about some things. And he said, so which method of interpretation do you use in the Bible? And I said, I don't know what you mean. And he says, are you Arminian or Calvinist? And at the time, I didn't even know what those were. I said, I don't do any of that stuff. He says, well, you can't just read the Bible. You have to have this mindset, and then you interpret the Bible based on either the Arminian or the Calvinistic or something like that. And did you know, this is how a lot of people look at the Bible. They already have a preconceived idea, and then they go to the Bible and pick scriptures out that try and verify what they're saying. And that's not my approach. That's not the approach of our instructors, as you were hearing Barry talk about. Man, he just takes the word and then sees those things coming to pass. We are trying to just present the Bible and what the Bible says. And it's amazing how many Christians do not let the Bible get in the way of what they believe. I couldn't tell you how many times I've counseled somebody and I say, well, the Bible says, and they say, well, yeah, I know, but. And they've always got some, you know, it's like a goat, goat's butt, sheep, bah. If you're always saying, yeah, the Bible says this, but, well, then you're probably a goat. This says that the word of God is the incorruptible seed. And the word seed here in the Greek is spora. That's how a flower pollinates. Spores are spread from flower to flower. And the word spora is a derivative of the Greek word sperma. And that's where we get the word sperm from. And did you know, in the same way that you can't have a child, they don't come by the stork. You don't go to the store and get a child. You don't get pregnant by standing close to someone. I'm not going to go into any more detail than that. Hopefully, all of you understand how we got here. There was a sperm. There was a seed sown. And this says that the word of God is the incorruptible seed. Did you know when you take a seed, you know, of a plant or of a tree, sometimes you can plant those things and they just don't work. Most of the time they work, but sometimes you just plant a seed and it rots in the ground or whatever. But the word of God is incorruptible. It never fails to work. But at the same time, you've got to get this concept that this is a seed, and anything you need from God, the seed for it is in this word. If you need healing, what you need to do is to start taking the word that promises healing and meditate on it. If you need prosperity, take healing, prosperity scriptures and meditate on it and plant it in your heart. And it's an incorruptible seed unless you pluck it up, unless you somehow or another turn away from it. If you just keep that seed in the midst of your heart, it will bring forth fruit. I've got a teaching entitled Effortless Change, and this is the whole basis of it. Most people see change as being traumatic and hard and it's painful. The only reason it's that way is because we aren't trying to do it God's way. We aren't taking seeds from God's word and planting them in our heart, but instead we're fasting and we're praying and we're studying and we're following people to all of their conventions and waiting on them to lay hands on me, and we're waiting, hoping that somebody will come along and do it. That's hard. But did you know, if you just took the seed from God's word that promises whatever you need, and if you sowed it in your heart and didn't allow the devil to steal from it, this is what Mark chapter 4 is all about, that seed is planted, but only one out of four different types of ground produced fruit. Not because there was anything wrong with the seed, but there was something wrong with the ground. If you keep that seed in the midst of your heart, it's just the nature of the seed to produce after its own kind. You've never seen an apple tree just groan and shake and go, and here's an apple. You just plant that seed and it takes time, but that seed brings forth fruit and it's effortless. We actually had a young guy one time who came to our Charis Bible College because his mother was a partner of mine. He was from the inner city of Chicago, and he didn't want to come, but his mother knew he needed to come, so she bribed him. And she said, I'll get you a car, I'll get you a place, I'll get all of your furnishings for the place and everything if you'll go to Charis for 6 months. And so he came, and he was a nice guy. I liked him, but he told everybody, he says, I'm out of here in 6 months. I'm here for the car and for stuff like that. And he made no bones about it. And anyway, he went home on Christmas break after being here and sitting under the word 4 hours a day for 4 or 5 months. And he told us when he left, he says, sorry, I'll never see you again. He did not intend on staying. But when he went back, he lived in an area where there was a person killed every day in his area, in his neighborhood. Gun violence, and it was terrible. Matter of fact, I went and actually was on a radio program, and they interviewed me. And then after this lady who invited me after we got through, she says, I want to take you out to eat. And where do you want to go? And I said, well, there's a McDonald's. There was something. I said, it doesn't have to be anything fancy. I'm fine. And she says, no, we can't go there. And I said, honestly, I'm okay. This is just fine. Let's go here. And finally, this lady told me, you're about 10 shades too light to go in there. She says, if I take you in there, you won't come out alive. And there was a lot of racial prejudice and things going on. Anyway, this guy went back home, found out that two of his friends had been killed while he was at school. And he tried to get back in with his previous friends, and he couldn't. He found out he had been changed. He didn't even want to change. He just sat under the word and started hearing the truth, and it changed him so much that he could not fit back in. I'm telling you, the Word of God is one of the greatest things. I'd say outside of the gift of Jesus and then leaving the Holy Spirit, the Word of God is the most important thing that God ever gave us. The Word of God will transform your heart, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's an incorruptible seed. And if you will just plant the seed in your heart, it will do everything that you need to do. And so we make no bones about it. This is a Bible college. We are planting seeds. Did you know all of us that have been up here on the stage, we're spitting seeds out of our mouth. We're producing truth. We're taking truths from God's word. And if you will allow it to be planted in your heart, it will transform you. And we have seen this happen thousands and thousands and thousands of times. And this is why we're so excited. It's why we promote Charis, is because I don't know any other way for you to take the Word of God and put it in your heart as quickly and get as big of a benefit as what we're doing here. You know, I didn't go to Bible school. I went through the School of Hard Knocks, and I spent, I don't know, 10 hours a day for probably 6 or 7 years just studying the Word, and the Word began to change me. And all of the other instructors, they've gone through a similar type of thing. And so what we're doing is taking all of this fruit that has been produced in our life through the Word of God, and we're planting it in your life. But did you know what? I did it by trial and error to have all of these different people that have already done it, and they condense it down and put it into real, you know, clear ways, like Barry was saying, these three different things about perspective and stuff. We're taking years and years and years worth of Bible study and things that God has shown us, and we're planting these seeds in your heart. And if you'll receive it, it will just bring forth fruit effortlessly. You know, my very first week in Vietnam, they were going to send us through the gas chamber, and I won't offend you with telling you my experience that I had in basic training, but I nearly died going through a gas chamber. It was terrible. It was one of the worst experiences in my life. And so when we were in Vietnam and they said that we're going to send everybody through the gas chamber this morning, I was praying, oh God, don't, you know, somehow I've got to get out of this. I cannot go through this again. And they asked for volunteers at breakfast. And you just don't ever volunteer for anything in the Army. That's just asking for trouble. But I figured if they used me for target practice, that would be better than going through the gas chamber. So I was the first one to volunteer. And what they did, they made me the barracks guard. As everybody else went through the gas chamber, I was just laying on my bunk, just watching it so that nobody would come in and steal anything from anybody. And it was awesome. And so I was laying on this bunk and I was reading over here in Mark chapter 4. Let me just read this to you. I remember this like it was yesterday. And I was reading in Mark chapter 4. There's 13 parables that Jesus gave in one day. You have to combine Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to get that. But it all happened in one day. And there was 13 parables, and there's three of them that, well, there's actually four of them listed right here in the fourth chapter, four of those parables. And every one is about the importance of the Word. And so it says in verse, that's Acts. That won't work. Let me turn over here to Mark chapter 4. And in verse 30, it says, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And as I read that, I was just praying and I said, oh God, that's what I want to be. I want to have you working in my life and using me in such a way that fowls from all over the earth, people from all over the world could come and benefit by what you're doing in my life. And I was just picturing this huge tree that would accommodate and bless people all over the world. And I was praying for that. And I was saying, God, that's what I want. And the Lord spoke to me real clearly. And he said, Andrew, if your root is about that deep, he said, if I was to give you the growth that you're asking for, says the very first bird that sat on one of your branches would knock the whole thing over. He says the first puff of wind would uproot your entire tree. He said, you don't need to worry about growth. What you do is just let the seed, the Word of God, work in your life, and if you do that, the growth will come. He says, you don't ever have to focus on growth. And I never have. I've never been, you know, I'm not really believing for growth. I've just been fellowshipping with the Lord and taking His Word, and God has spoken things to me, and I'm doing things out of obedience to God. But, you know, I had somebody come and say, so what's your vision? I honestly don't have a vision. My only vision is to know the Lord. That's what I am after every day of my life, is just to know the Lord and to fellowship with Him. And because of my relationship with Him, He's told me that He wanted me to be a teacher. He told me, I pastored three little churches. He told me to go on radio. He told me to go on television. I'm just doing these things in obedience to God. But honestly, I've never had a vision for any of this. It's never been something that I wanted, and I'm asking God to bless it. My only vision is just to know the Lord. You know, John Donnelly, he's been here during these meetings. I don't see him right now. Are you here? John Donnelly up here, John and Susan from Scotland. Man, they're great friends, and he's on my board in Scotland. And anyway, do you remember when it was? Wasn't it 2020 that you called me or texted me and told me that God was giving me whatever I wanted? Was it 2020? I think so. And he just said that God's given me that same choice that he gave Solomon about, you know, anything that you want. What do you want? And I didn't want to waste my gift or my wish. And so I prayed about it for weeks, might have been a couple of months. And I was just constantly, God, what is it? And, you know, and I knew that we needed a lot of money to build out things. I knew that the ministry needed to grow. There was all kinds of things that I could have asked the Lord for, but I just wanted to, make it count. And I remember walking out my door one day and I was praying and saying, but God, what is it that I should be asking for? You're going to give me anything I ask for. And as I was walking out the door, I said, but God, what I really want more than anything else is just to know you. And as soon as I said that, the Lord said, I'll take that. And I believe that because that is my goal, then God added all these other things to me. But honestly, this is all I want, is just to know the Lord. And how do you do that? You take the seeds of God's word. Did you know you wouldn't know how to spell Jesus if we didn't have the Bible? Have you ever thought about if God hadn't have written these things down in the word, we wouldn't have known about Jesus. We wouldn't have known about his crucifixion, what he did for us. If it wasn't for the writings of Paul and the other apostles, we wouldn't know these things. These are seeds that God has given us. It's an incorruptible seed. And whatever you need in your life, all you have to do is take this seed and just plant it in your heart. You know, it was 1996, and I had been in the ministry at that time for, what is that? That would have been 28 years. And I'd pastored three churches, and I'd seen some good things happen, but I was struggling financially. I had collection agencies that were after me all of the time, not because I didn't want to pay my bills, but because I just didn't have the money. And sometimes I had collection agencies coming after me. I was struggling financially, and yet the Lord was speaking to me about it was time for me to get ready to go on television. And man, I knew if I was struggling on 120 radio stations, it was going to get a lot worse when I went on television, because it's a lot more expensive. And I just saw the handwriting on the wall that I needed to do something to change my financial situation. And so I just took a legal pad and I wrote out at least 100 scriptures on prosperity. And they're scriptures that I already knew. And I've been a giver since day one. I've never had a dollar in my life. I'm talking about even when I was a kid that I haven't given off. I've never had a penny come into my life that I haven't given off. When I was a kid, I had a dollar a week allowance, and I gave the whole dollar every week in the offering. I've been a giver my whole life. So I was giving, but yet I was struggling financially. And I couldn't understand what was happening. So I wrote these scriptures out. And for 2 years, I just meditated on these scriptures. And then in 1996, it's a long story. I'm not going to take time to go into it. But all of a sudden, boom, revelation hit me. And our finances just began to double and triple. And to this day, I mean, it is phenomenal. It takes us over $8 million a month just to pay our bills. And we have it just like clockwork. And this year, we've been growing at anywhere from 10 to 20% per year. And so we're expecting to be over 120 million here in the U.S. And then overseas, we have anywhere from $20 to $30 million a year come in. And all of this is happening because I took seeds from the Word of God and planted them in my heart. And for 2 years, you couldn't see any difference. But all of a sudden, boom, it just happened. Do you know that there is a bamboo plant? I heard a minister talk about this. I don't remember the name of it. But you plant that bamboo, and for 4 years, all it produces is one leaf above the ground. One leaf for 4 years. And then in the fourth year, that bamboo plant grows 18 feet in 1 year. And some people think, man, look at that, 18 feet in 1 year. No, it's 18 feet in 4 years. But you only saw above the ground. All of those roots were being developed below the ground. And this is the way it is with the Word. You just have to take the Word and by faith believe that it's working, and you may not see it immediately, but it's an incorruptible seed. And if you don't pluck it up, if you don't allow the devil to steal the seed from you, it will produce. You know, I quoted earlier, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Barry talked about this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. But that faith comes out of the word of God. These words are like little containers that have faith in it, that have healing in it, that have prosperity in it, joy, peace, wisdom. Anything that you need is right here, but you've got to take these things off of this page and plant them in your heart. I don't know if you're still in Mark chapter 4, but look at this. In Mark chapter 4 and in verse 26, Jesus is talking and he said, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground. You know, it's significant that he used a seed to illustrate how the word of God works, how the kingdom of God works. Because if he had taken a man-made system like, you know, Bible college, like a school, this is something that's beneficial. But you can cheat in school. Did you know you could copy the answers from somebody else? You can sit there and not really learn the material, but the night before a test, you can cram and put all this information in your short-term memory. And you may pass the test, but you didn't get it. And you can prove that because many of you passed high school. And yet if you were to go back and take one of those tests that you crammed for in high school, you didn't learn it. You don't know. You can beat a man-made system. But did you know you can't beat this system? This, he's comparing it to a seed. You can't wait until the night before your harvest and go plant the seed and all of a sudden see it come up. There is seed time and then harvest. And it's a law that God created. And so he's using a law that he created to illustrate how the word works, because just as surely as you can't just pray over bare ground and have, crops come up, you got to plant a seed. Over in Genesis chapter 1, verse 11, it says, could you put that up there so I don't have to turn over there? Genesis 1, 11. It says, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. Notice the way he said these things. He didn't just say, let there be grass, let there be herbs. If he would have said that, then when those original plants died, he'd have had to create new plants. But he created it in such a way that there was a seed in it. And that seed had a supernatural life that if you plant it, it just works. But it won't work otherwise. You can't just say, I want tomatoes to grow and pray over the ground. No, you got to plant a seed. I don't care how much you pray over it. I don't care how strong your faith is. There are laws that govern how tomato plants grow. And it's the same thing with children. You can't, you know, I've had people come up by the hundreds and ask me to pray. Would you pray that I could get pregnant and have a child? And I'll always ask them, are you married? Because I'm not going to participate in fornication, and there's only been one virgin birth, and you aren't going to be the second one. And so, yeah, I'll pray with you. And I've seen a lot of people miraculously concede, but they had to plant a seed. After I get through praying for them, I'll say, now look, I believe God's healed you, but you got a part to play. You go act on the word, and it seems like people are always willing to act on that. But see, you have to plant a seed in order to get a child. But in the spiritual realm, people are all the time, oh, God, heal me. And I'll say, well, what scripture are you standing on? Well, I don't know. Isn't there a scripture, some, I can't remember if it's Old Covenant or New Covenant, about by his stripes we're healed, something like that? That's kind of like standing close to a man and saying, is this close enough? No. You got to have a little bit more interaction. You got to just, you know, I heard a preacher sometimes say something. Isn't this true? This is the way that most Christians live. They couldn't find a promise in the Word. They have to go to somebody and ask where it is. I guarantee you, if you don't know where that scripture is, and I'm not trying to condemn you, you might have to spend a little bit of time. But if you can't find that scripture and stuff, you aren't pregnant with it yet. You have to have some intimacy with the Word of God. You got to plant the Word of God in your heart. And if you don't do it, you aren't going to have the Word of God produce its results any more than you could pray and get pregnant. That is really powerful. We understand this in the natural so well that you would think a person crazy who's just, I've been praying for 10 years. Why hasn't God given me a child? Because you hadn't planted a seed. Everybody understands that in the natural. But when it comes to spiritual things, you're sitting here praying, but you don't know what the Word of God says. You spend more time in the light of your TV than you spend in the light of God's Word, and you wonder why nothing's working. So he says, it's like a man who plants seed in the ground. And then in verse 27, and he should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. Man, there's a lot of things. I've not got time to go into all of the detail on this. But when it says that he sleeps and rises night and day, that means that you got to leave the seed in the ground. If you plant a seed and then go dig it up the next morning to see, has it worked? Well, you'll kill the seed. You have to just take God's word and believe. You have to mix it with faith. It says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, that the word preached unto them did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. You have to take the seed of God's word and put it in your heart and believe that it's going to produce, that it will work, and you just can't go dig it up. You can't say, all right, I'm going to believe for 24 hours, and if I don't have my answer, then I'm going to go do something else. No, you have to commit yourself and take the Word of God and just give it time. He had to sleep and rise night and day, and it says that the seed should spring and grow up. He knows not how. Man, this is really encouraging to me, because when the Lord first touched my life and he told me to quit school, and it looked, you know, everybody was telling me there's no way God could ever use you if you don't go through seminary, and you don't get taught and do all of these things. And I just felt like, God, how are you ever going to use me? He showed me this verse and it says he knows not how. And I thought, man, that's, I don't understand it, but I know that this is what God's telling me to do and I'm going to do it. And I just trusted the fact that if I take the word of God and put it in my heart, it'll work. So that was encouraging to me, that you don't have to understand it. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to plant a seed. Amen. And give it time and let it grow and then reap the fruit. Amen. From it. All of us do that. We don't understand how seeds work. People will say, oh yeah, I do. No, you don't. You could take all of the wisdom of men and you could pool our resources from all over the world. You could get the smartest, the most brilliant man. They could produce something that's the same size as a seed, the same weight as a seed, may look like a seed. It might even taste like a seed, but you plant a man-made seed in the ground and it will never grow anything. We don't fully understand a seed. How in the world does a huge oak tree get inside of a little acorn? Nobody totally understands it, but that doesn't keep us from using it. We plant it and do it. And you don't have to be a rocket scientist. You don't have to understand everything. Just take the word of God and sow it in your heart and give it time and nourishment. And I guarantee you, it'll produce after its own kind. And then the next verse says, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. That is one amazing verse. That is phenomenal. For the earth bringeth forth. You know, most people think that that seed, there's an oak tree in that acorn. There isn't. I've heard people before say anybody can count the number of seeds in an apple, but nobody can count the number of apples in a seed. And I understand the point that they're making. They're talking about potential and growth. But did you know, technically speaking, the seed does not produce. The seed activates the ground. This says the earth brings forth fruit of herself. Some of you are thinking, what's the big deal? I hadn't got time to explain this completely. I got a little booklet I put out entitled Plain as Dirt. It's awesome. I've had people say, you are as plain as dirt. Now that I understand this, that is a huge compliment. Dirt is miraculous. Did you know over in Genesis chapter 1, the verse I just used, Genesis 1:11, let the earth bring forth fruit. Bring forth grass. Let the earth bring forth animals. Did you know that elephants, giraffes, dogs, cats, everything all came out of the dirt? Did you know everything that is above ground was in ground at one time? Including you and me. God formed man's body out of the dust of the ground. Our bodies came out of the ground. All of the steel that's in this building, the wood came out of the ground. The carpet, all of the fabric that's in the carpet came out of the ground. Everything that is above ground was in ground at one time. Dirt is miraculous. But it's just dirt until a seed is sown. And then that seed activates the ground. Did you know oak trees are in the ground? But it has to have a catalyst, something to make it come alive. When you plant that seed, there is a miracle in the seed, in the acorn, that activates the ground. If you don't believe that, plant an acorn in ground that has been depleted, that's barren, that's been sowed with salt or something like that. If the ground isn't good, the seed won't produce a thing. And a seed is powerless until it gets in the ground. Did you know they've actually taken seeds that were in the Pharaoh's tombs that are over 4,000 years old? They've been sitting in a container for 4,000 years, and they take that seed and put it in the ground, and the ground produces wheat or whatever it was. Been laying there dormant for 4,000 years, and yet you put it in the ground and give it the right temperature and nourishment. If the ground is not good ground, it won't produce. It's the ground that brings forth fruit. And notice the terminology here. It says it brings forth fruit of herself, feminine. In the same way that a sperm comes from a man, but it has to activate what's in the woman. The woman has everything in her that it takes to produce a child. God created you that way. And I don't care how you feel one day, you still are the way God created you to be. And so God created the woman so that everything that it takes to produce a child is in that woman. And all it's needed is a sperm. And that sperm activates and releases all of this, and a child is born. Everything that is needed for life is in the dirt. This is the reason that I'm not one of these tree huggers and one of these that's fearful that we're depleting the earth, because God anticipated anything that the human race would ever need, and it's already in the dirt. Did you know petroleum comes out of the dirt? All of the plastic, anything that you need. And if we ever run out of fossil fuels, which I believe that's a crock, they have found fossil fuels in North Dakota that would run the world at the exact same usage that we have right now for over 100 years. Right here in the U.S., it's more than all of the Arab oil fields and everything like that. And yet our government will not release that power and won't use it, because they're sitting here feeling that the earth is frail and that the fossil fuels are depleting things. You know, I was just watching something last week that during the 900s to the 1300s, it was what they called a heat wave. And seeds that were sown, that were producing, one seed sown would produce two seeds harvested. During the 900s to the 1300s, it went up to 7 to 1. They would get 7 seeds back for every one sown because it was warming up. And there was a heat wave during that year. And then in 1300 is when this volcano erupted, and it covered the whole world with the ash. It was the biggest volcano eruption. I think it was in 1325 or 85, something like that. And in Europe, they had snow nearly every day in Europe throughout the entire summer. On July, they were having snowstorms. We went through, they call it a mini ice age. And did you know what? The earth adjusted and it recovered. And it just fluctuates and goes back and forth. And yet people are saying all of this stuff. And anyway, the reason I don't like it is because they're thinking, well, things are happening that God never thought about. God knew everything that man would ever do. And I guarantee you, this earth isn't fragile. This earth is going to be able to handle it. And anyway, everything that we ever needed was in the dirt. You know what activated it? A seed. God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature. His word is an incorruptible seed. And because there was no resistance, there was no demonic stuff, there was nothing, he just spoke. And his seed instantly made the earth bring forth. Did you know the parables that are listed, the four parables here in Mark chapter 4, every one of them, the ground is your heart. And your heart, when you got born again, God put everything you will ever need. If you need to be healed, it says by his stripes, you were healed. 1 Peter 2:24. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, prays that our eyes would be open to what we already have. And verse 19 and 20 says, the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that's already in you. It's not out there that you pray. Man, you've got raising from the dead power on the inside of you. It's in your dirt. It's in your heart. But it has to have a seed to bring it forth. You know what the seed is? It's this incorruptible seed. When you take the word of God and take that truth that I have raising from the dead power on the inside of me. Jesus said in John 14, 12, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do because I go unto the Father. That's a seed. And you take that seed, it has faith in it to release this supernatural power that was put in you at salvation. And all of a sudden, miracles start flowing through you. You start laying hands on people. You see people raised from the dead. I've seen my wife raised from the dead. I've seen my son raised from the dead after 4 hours being dead in a morgue, stripped naked with a toe tag on. And he came back to life. And he's the one that put this screen up. He's the one that drives our vehicle to meetings and does things. And he's not got brain damage, no more than he had before. He's alive. Did you know that that power was on the inside of me? But it took the word of God to release it. A seed had to be planted. Every one of you has raising from the dead power. Every one of you has miraculous power, prosperity to accomplish whatever God has called you to do. Every one of you have the wisdom. You've already got the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, you have the mind of Christ. But most of us are just muddling through life using this brain and not using our mind of Christ. It's in our spirit. How do you get it out? You take a seed and you plant it. And you take these truths and you plant it. And all of a sudden, the earth brings forth fruit of herself. Your heart, even if you're a man in the spiritual realm, your heart is feminine. You've got everything. When you got born again, you've got everything that it takes to produce fruit. You've got everything in you that it takes to be just like Jesus. That's why we're called Christians, little Christ. You've got everything that you need, but it's not going to come out until you plant a seed. Dirt's got everything in it that it needs. Anything that this world will ever need. I don't care if we get to where we have 16 billion people on the planet. There is stuff in the ground that God has created to sustain life. And we will make it. I don't care what goes on. We just need to get the wisdom to know how to use the resources that God has made. Likewise, you've got everything in you that it takes for you to be an absolute world overcomer. But it's got to plant a seed before it'll grow and come out. And like I said at the beginning, what most of us are doing is ignoring all of the things that this says. And we're just following people around and asking them to lay hands on me. And would you please pray for me? Would you please do this? And we're asking and looking for people. We're looking for a surrogate birth. We're wanting somebody else to take the seed and plant it in their heart and let the fruit come. And then we want to go eat of their fruit. Why don't you eat of your own fruit? Why don't you take the word of God and put it in your heart and get to where you're the great oak tree that the fowls of the air come and land in the branches and dwell in the shade of it? Why don't you let the word of God work in you? If you believe what I'm saying here, this really is as simple as the gospel is. When you got born again, you got everything that you need. The only thing that's lacking is just a seed. And this book is full of seeds. And so the rest of your life ought to be, oh God, I'm looking. And you, if you need something, you can go and take scriptures that deal specifically with finances. That's what I did in 1994 through 96. And because we've had over $1 billion come through my hands since the Lord has shown me that. And in the future, we're going to have multiple billions of dollars in order to be able to finish out the thing that God has given me. I've seen supernatural healing in my life because I took the seeds of God's word and meditated on it. And I've seen my son raised from the dead, my wife raised from the dead. I've seen multiple people. We added it up one time, and I think that there's over 100 people that have been raised from the dead through the directors and the students of our school in just the last few years. It's getting to where it's commonplace. Did you know that every one of you have that power on the inside of you? The only thing is you got to have a seed to activate it. And man, that's what this is. This book is just a book of seeds.
Amen.
Woo! Spiritual seeds. Whatever it is that you need. Man, if you're fighting discouragement, depression, there's seeds in here. Joshua chapter 1. About don't be discouraged nor be dismayed. I could go into each one of those words and I guarantee you those right there are promises to you and stuff. Let not your heart be troubled. John chapter 14 verse 1. And on you could go. There's seeds in here to overcome depression, discouragement, fear. Perfect love cast out fear. 1 John chapter 4 verse 18. The Lord will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon him. That's a seed that will tell you how to release the peace that is already a fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit's love, joy, and peace. You've already got peace. All you need is a seed to activate it and let this peace that passes understanding begin to work in your life so that regardless of what happens, you have peace in the midst of situations. There's healing in here. There's scriptures that promise you healing. And all you got to do is take them off of this page and plant them in your heart and give it time and it'll produce healing. Anything that you need is in you and all it needs is the seed of God's word to activate it. And that's what Charis Bible College is all about, is planting seeds, showing you truth. And did you know that Satan, it says in that parable of the sower sows the seed, Mark chapter 4 and in verse 14, it says the seed is the word of God. And then in verse 15, the very first thing that happens, that seed gets planted. Satan comes immediately to steal away the word that was sown in your heart. It's as simple as what I'm talking about, but it's not easy. The hardest thing you'll ever do is commit yourself to the word of God, to where this dominates you more than what your relatives say, more than what our society says, more than what the doctor says, more than what the banker says. Satan is going to come through every way. We live in a fallen world and the vast majority of people are not faith people. They are not word people. And they're going to speak doubt and unbelief to you. Some of you are dealing with this. Just coming here, your family has criticized you and said you're crazy. That's Satan trying to steal a seed from you. God's the one that put it on your heart. God's the one that gave this, and you're going to have to stand against this and let God be true and every man a liar. Satan is out to steal the word. Satan is not afraid of you or me. He's afraid of the word. He's afraid of the word being planted in somebody's heart. And so the fight is against the word of God. If you understand this, it makes persecution a little bit more palatable, because you know it's not you personally that they're against. They're against what you stand for. They're against the word. They are inspired by the devil, and he's trying to stop that word from working. But man, you are the one that controls whether the word of God works in your life or not. Outside forces can come try and steal it, but you're the one that determines whether you're going to hold on to the word of God or not. Amen. That's totally your choice. Nobody can talk you out of the word. Satan can't do anything to you without your consent and cooperation. You do not have to cooperate with the devil. You can get to a place where you stand on the word of God regardless of what the circumstances are like. And it's not always fun. When we sued the governor of Colorado because he was going to shut us down, and he sued me, so I countersued him. We sued him twice. He sued me twice. And we had a war room up there that was going nearly 24 hours a day, and they said they were going to take away our 501c3 tax exempt. They were going to put me in jail. They were going to do things. And we had meetings right here, and Dwayne Sheriff was ministering, and I was sitting right here on the front row, and I said, Dwayne, they've said they're going to arrest me tonight. And I said, if they come, we've got people all over the place, and we can go and hide, and we can do this. And I said, if you see me leave, you just take over the service. So anyway, my staff came and got me. There was a question, and they weren't arresting me, but Dwayne thought they were. He went wild, and man, we went through all this. And anyway, my wife comes to me, and she says, I hate this. I said, I hate it too. But what are you going to do? Pluck up the seed and not do what God tells you because of a fear of man? I didn't like it. But you know, if they put me in prison, I'll have a jail ministry. Amen. We'll get people born again in jail. And finally, the governor wrote me and he says, I'll leave you alone if you'll leave me alone. And I said, you got a deal. I signed it, and amen. We are an island of freedom in a liberal state. Nobody messes with us. Praise God. But you know what? I could have plucked up that seed. I could have backed up from, you know, the song we sang this morning, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. I could have said, well, I think I'll turn back on this one. And if I had, it would have plucked up a seed. It would have hindered my harvest.
Yeah, that's right.
Satan comes in subtle ways. We don't always recognize it's the devil, but anything that gets you off of the word of God is the devil. Satan is scared spitless of the word of God because it's already beaten him. His future is terrible. He's been guaranteed total defeat. And the only thing he's got now is to come against you. He can't come against God, but he'll come against you trying to talk you out of the power that's in the word. And if he can get you to back up, then you pluck up the seed. You're the only one that can stop God. Satan can't stop God. You're the only one that can stop him. And man, if you understand the things we're talking about, you can plant these seeds in your heart, and I guarantee you, you will see supernatural results. And we would love to help you. You could spend 56 years learning everything that I've learned, or you can come to Caris Bible College, and in 2 years, you can get basically the outline. Now, you got to let it soak in your heart and take root, but we can share with you things in just a short period of time that it's taken us decades to learn, and it would help you. So, man, I encourage you with this.
Thank you.
You need to respond to this in a positive way. And notice it said, right, I didn't focus on this, but that 28th verse says it brings forth first a blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. There's a growth process. It's not instantaneous. And this is one reason so many Christians aren't walking in victory, because they just want to have somebody pray for them and boom, instantly they're mature. Doesn't work that way. It's a growth process, just like planting a seed. And if you're impatient and if you think, well, man, I hadn't got 2 years to go to Bible college, well, then just keep going the way you are. And where will you be in 2 years? You'll be in the same mess that you're in now. 2 years. It's not a long time to see the word of God begin to work in your life. So anyway, I just pray that this encourages you and shows you that, praise God, God's given you everything it takes for you to be an absolute overcomer. If your life isn't supernatural, it's superficial. And if you aren't seeing the supernatural power of God operate in your life, I can promise you it's because you haven't taken the Word of God, or you've allowed something to steal the truth that you do know out of your heart. But if you'll follow this, it'll work. Amen?